Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts cast, folks. I am your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining us here again. Tonight we've got another good prospect interview for you guys. Garrett Hughes, defensive lineman out of New Mexico. Really interesting guys. I mean, a couple of these guys may be lesser known, but I'll tell you what, their talents are there. They're just not on as big a stage as some of these guys that we're hearing about, top couple round guys. Also joining me tonight, I got my man Jake Arthur. Jake, what's happening?
What is up, my guy?
Here we go again. Interesting. Hopefully we can get some guys that have, hopefully Garrett has, as much personality as we've gotten lucky to have had with some of the other interviews. That's always making it fun. A lot of these guys, have a lot to talk about and enjoy talking about their craft and what they're getting ready to do. So that's always a good time for sure.
Oh yeah. Last night was fun. I'm looking forward to tonight.
Me too. Absolutely. Let's talk first, Jake. We don't have a lot of news with the Colts right now, but let's talk about something that you put up today on the site at Stampede Blue. Colts draft exploring options round 2. So let's talk about this. Set this up for us real quick.
All right. So this is the beginning of the series that I'm doing, and we're going to go through, all through 7 rounds. I started at round 2 because we've all talked about the Colts options in round 1 for months now. Everyone knows what their options are, mm-hmm. even going back from 3 to 6. So I wanted to start at 2. And with the Colts picking near the top of the second round, I kind of wanted to focus on some really premium players with first round grades who could slip to the Colts there at the second, as well as some other guys whose stock is already around the second round. So basically, yeah, I think there's some pretty exciting scenarios where, we've seen in recent memory, Landon Collins, Miles Jack, mm-hmm. Jalen Smith was injury, Geno Smith a few years before that. Some of these guys that everyone thinks is going to go in the first round, they wind up slipping to the second.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It really is interesting that way, Jake, because what was it, last year or a couple years ago? I just remember, us doing our typical annual draft day deal, usually at your pad. And it seems like we're always talking about this. There's always a guy or two or three or four, even for that matter, slipping into the second round that we thought for sure we were going to hear in the first, 32 picks. It's always kind of, touch and go. But there are really good talents that slip into the second round. And it almost seems like there is annually a guy that if you were to redraft, you'd be he's in the middle of the second round and you would be like, yeah, I would take that guy a top 15 pick if it was a redraft. And with some of the looks of the guys that you've got on this list, some of these guys might be premier top 15 redraft potential.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, I started with a list of about 35 or 36 guys who could be there in the second round for the Colts because, they've got 3. The rest of this series, I'm only going to be doing 10 per round. But I did a mix, some of the guys who could be there, but I ranked them myself. So it's not necessarily ranked on notoriety. It's just what I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we can run through some of these guys real quick if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do that. Let's talk about these running backs because you've got Sony Michel here. You've got Ronald Jones. You've also got Darius Geis here. All these guys, I mean, legitimately, Jake, these guys could be first round picks. They could be second round picks. They could be third round. We don't know because this is such a this is one of the coolest drafts in history or in recent memory for me. Thinking about the different guys who could go in different places, how they stack up, how the wide receiver class, there's just so many things about this class that are so damn interesting that we just don't know what's going to happen. I think there's going to be multiple surprises come 26th of April, 27th, 28th. I think this is going to be an excellent draft. But why do you think these running backs could possibly be hanging on here in the second round?
Well, some of these guys are among the better players in the entire draft, but just positional value might keep them out of the top, you know. And since the running back class is so deep and some of these other position groups are so shallow, you know, teams draft on best player available, yes, but need does factor in. So they might feel like it's a more dire situation to address other positions first. And there's only one Saquon Barkley in this draft, and that's why he'll probably go in the top five, top 10. But the rest of these guys, I think teams will be able to find, you know, other alternatives to them later in the draft. And I think that's why they could slip. There's also, you know, in the second half of the first round, there's not a ton of teams that need a running back of this caliber because they're kind of already set at the position.
Right. Man, that's a ton of talent there at the running back position for sure that is going to be, you know, making somebody really, really happy if they were to get these guys. Let's talk about the receivers too. Anthony Miller, DJ Moore, a couple guys who are talked about back and forth, I suppose, pretty regularly as two of the top wide receivers here. What makes you think that these guys could slide into the second round? Well, I think that it's quite possible. But if you have a top wide receiver, what makes you think that they could possibly slip into the second?
Well, we are hearing a lot more about DJ Moore going in the first round, you know, kind of right in the middle, or, you know, Cowboys kind of late teens ish, but it's always possible that he slips a little bit. There's two guys that a lot of people have right there at the top, and that's Calvin Ridley and Cortland Sutton. I think everyone will love a guy like Cortland Sutton's size, just like they like Laquon Treadwell's size. But the difference is Cortland Sutton backed it up with really good testing scores and agility scores, things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, teams are going to want to see that because it'll make them feel better about that player because, you know, some of Sutton's tape, you know, wasn't all that great. And if they thought he wasn't going to be capable of separating or, you know, whatever their concerns might be, if he didn't have good testing scores, then they might have dropped him. But the fact that he had really good ones, you know, that's going to hold a firm spot, and they'll probably hold on to that and want to take him in the first. Because guys like that with, you know, size and speed and that catch radius, they can become elite receivers in a hurry. DJ Moore, I think he's pretty polished. He's a very well-rounded receiver. I'd be totally comfortable taking him in the first. But again, there's been some mocks that I've done and stuff where other positions just kind of take precedence with other teams, you know. And this is another quasi-deep receiver class up until about the fourth round or so. Mm-hmm. And Moore doesn't really blow you away with anything. I think he's a really fun player to watch. I think his explosion is kind of subtle. But he is a really good player. But, you know, really good receivers go in the second round all the time. I don't see him making it out of the second round. But, you know, just as surprised as I wouldn't be if he was, you know, around the 15th pick, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened a full round later in the middle of the second round.
Yeah. And, like, some of these – okay, let's go through a couple more of them right quick. Jaire Alexander, Marcus Davenport, Connor Williams, offensive line tackle, Isaiah Oliver, cornerback, James Daniels, Billy Price. I mean, these are all really good talents. Mike Hughes, Will Hernandez. You put a lot of excellent names on here, Jake. Abonia Okoronkwo, one of my favorites in the draft. Josh Sweat, another favorite for a lot of people. These guys are all, you know, you can say there is no way that this blank person, like you put in here, is going to go in the second round. That's BS. We know it to be BS because it happens all the time. You can't speak in certainties when you're talking about the NFL draft, especially one that seems to have a top 60 that is quite as intriguing as this, in my opinion. Any of these guys, I mean, is as much as everybody loves Davenport, and they talk about him, you know, legitimately being a top 25 pick, that doesn't mean he's going to go top 25. Connor Williams is a tackle. These guys go high in the draft all the time. Connor Williams could end up being the best tackle in this draft and not go until the middle of the second round. We don't know. this is all so subjective and it all means nothing until it actually happens. But thinking about getting some of this talent in the second round, especially when the Colts hold the fourth and the fifth pick in the second round, man, this makes me feel good.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a list of 15 guys. They're not all going in the first round. So there are going to be a good chunk of these guys who are available in the second round, and there's reasons for each of them. There's, of course, reasons for all of them to go in the first round. They're all very good players. That's why I have them ranked on here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, NFL teams are always going to find reasons to try and move guys down the board and acquire them later. I mean, Miles Jack was a consensus top 10 pick a couple years ago. And just like a couple weeks before the draft, they're saying, you know, his knee is a ticking time bomb. And now look at him. Like, since Jacksonville put him on the field, they haven't taken him off, really. You know, they got him in the second round. They were able to stack him with Jalen Ramsey as their first round pick and got Miles Jack in the second. That is ridiculous, and it should be illegal. It's the kind of stuff the rest of the league lets New England do, you know.
Exactly.
That was a total steal.
It was. It was a total steal. We knew it when it was happening. This was just not going to end up well, at least for the Colts. You know, ended up good for them, but not. You know, just didn't. It just didn't make sense. It didn't make sense at all, man. You know, knowing that you basically were getting two top 10 picks, and one of them in the second round was just insane. I mean, granted, you know, a lot of things come with it, but it at the time, it was nuts. It was roll your eyes worthy. That's for sure. Good job on this, man. This is fun to look into, and I'm, if you had a one of these guys that you, not just in preference, but when you look at it and think realistic possibility, who's one of these 15 guys that you think that the Colts might go with either the fourth or fifth pick here, if they're still on the board?
Yeah, if we're talking about mixing the highest likelihood that they're actually there and who might fit the Colts the best. Let's see. I think Isaiah Oliver really fits the Colts pretty well. I think there's a lot of mixed reviews on him. He's a lot of people, you know, in the top two or three corners, but he could be, you know, second round for a lot of people too. So, Isaiah Oliver is one of them. Some of these corners are a little smaller than what I think the Colts would want to go for. So while I would like to see them take them, I don't see it happening. I'm going to go with Isaiah Oliver and Josh Sweat. I think, obviously the Colts need pass rush help, and especially if they miss out on Bradley Chubb in the first round, Josh Sweat could be a nice consolation prize. He's a lot of people's third-ranked pass rusher behind Chubb and Harold Landry. So that seems like a high likelihood. He checks off the athleticism scores that I'm sure they have on there. Definitely is still an ascending talent. He's got Jadeveon Clowney athleticism, so I don't see why any team wouldn't want to take a chance on him.
Yeah, he's in my top five. I don't think that he was in my top three. I had him in top five. I know that just because of what he can do. His potential is pretty insane and pretty interesting without question. But I love this list. And if I had to choose one, if we're going to talk about fit, I think you look at a guy like Sony Michel or you look at a guy like Jaire Alexander. I like the way Alexander plays. He's got the ball skills. He's a guy who will challenge everything. And he's just got kind of the smooth cockiness to him to where it's just like, I just want to tell you that I'm the best you're going to see. You know, not so much that I don't even know how to explain it, man. It's just not an overpowering cockiness. It's just more of a very confident, don't look at me because I'm talking big, but look at me because of what you're going to see kind of thing. And I think that would fit well into the Colts locker room. I think that would fit well into a Colts rebuild, especially when you consider him opposite Quincy Wilson. You know, that would be a really fun tandem, seeing those two guys starting with Hairston in the slot or just whoever. I think that'd be a really fun cornerback trio for sure. So there's a lot of guys, a lot of these guys, man. I'd take any one of these guys fourth or fifth, I think. I really, truly would, because there's a crap ton of talent on this list for sure.
Oh, yeah. Just thinking of who they'll stack at 36 and 37, especially if some of these guys are all there at the same time, that's pretty exciting.
Absolutely. Guys, we've got Garrett Hughes. We're getting ready to be on with him. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with defensive lineman Garrett Hughes out of New Mexico right after this. Welcome back to the Colts Cast, folks. We are here tonight continuing our prospect interviews. We're here with Garrett Hughes, defensive lineman out of New Mexico. Garrett, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
We're doing great. We got Jake Arthur with us again tonight. Going to do these again. Garrett, every one of these questions we're going to give you tonight, you may have heard at least in one way or another, some form or fashion to this point already.
Okay.
But, basically, what is it like going through the process after coming out of high school, going into college, and then getting into the position that you are now, getting ready to be, you know, a draft hopeful?
I describe the process definitely as a grind. A lot of hard work, a lot of mental toughness, a lot of dedication goes into it every single day. You got to stay on your toes every single day because you don't want anybody to get better, to be honest.
Yeah, how much different is it? I mean, this time of year for the last few years, you've probably been, you know, getting ready for spring ball or whatever, you know, college might hold for that. But now you're doing football activities, but it's completely different, you know, just kind of
right.
getting ready for the biggest, you know, job interviews of your life. What's been different about that and you know, working, you know, still working out and perfecting your craft, but at the same time, fitting in, you know, meetings and workouts with teams and things like that?
I think the biggest difference between the spring ball process and like pro day draft process, I'd say when you're training spring ball and stuff, you're working on your technique and working on perfecting your craft at whatever position you're at. And then going into pro day and draft prep and stuff like that, it's almost basically like you're kind of becoming a track athlete. A lot of stuff based on 40, a lot of 150s on the track, different stuff like that, preparing you to run your 40 and get faster your 40.
Scheme-wise, where do you see yourself specifically as far as, you know, maybe regardless of what you came out of at New Mexico, but where do you see yourself as a perfect scheme fit on the D-line?
I see myself as an inside, outside linebacker type guy, but I'm more than capable enough of playing three tech also. I feel like I can play anywhere on the line.
Is that part of like what you enjoy doing when you get out on the field is rushing the edge, or you feel like you're more of a interior? I mean, not that you're better suited as an interior, but do you
right.
relish that part of it more, or would you rather be on the edge?
I'd rather be on the edge. My biggest thing I love to do, I love to go get the quarterback. That's wherever I'm at on the field on defense, I want to go get the quarterback.
I was reading something a little earlier. I think it was from early last summer, and one of your coaches was talking about, you know, one of your biggest, you know, strengths and sometimes weaknesses is just you've got such a high motor and you've got so much energy. You know, I believe a whole season, you know, came and went since then. Did you find a way to kind of channel that energy kind of throughout the game and just keep that motor going? And like you said, you prefer to be a pass rusher, like just kind of use that to your advantage throughout all four quarters?
Yeah, most definitely. I played more of a leader role my senior season, so I had to, you know, so I really I took pride in channeling that energy for not just the sake of myself, but for the sake of my teammates, the younger guys looking up, and for the sake of the team. I did whatever it took to help out the team this year.
What's been one of your more difficult tasks to overcome? And we'll stick with football related. Has there been any crossroads or anything that you've come to over the past few years in your football career in college that you've had to overcome that's kind of helped you maybe regain like an extra little bit of confidence or something moving forward?
I think, so we're talking about football, I think the biggest learning how to we played a lot of odd front defense this year, so I was in a head up four holding down B gap. I think that was a big obstacle because I never really had to just focus so much on being a run stopper necessarily. I never was really taught that in high school, and so I think that would definitely be the biggest obstacle. I really took pride in learning how to stop the run and hold my gap down.
And just kind of a quick addition to that, was there a certain season at Mexico that you felt maybe you learned more about like X's and O's type or scheme specific matters and such than you did the rest of them?
Most definitely my senior year, because like I said, my senior year, we went from my junior year going, we'd go three down, but I play in a five technique a lot of the time, three technique, to my senior year, strictly 3-4 eye, head up four technique, step into a four eye every play, even on third downs, third and long situations some of the time. So I really learned the X's and O's of the game and really took film extra serious. I was a film junkie my senior year just so I could get any kind of edge on reads that the O-line might give out, anything like that. So when I'm stepping to my gap, I know what to look for and what to expect.
Interesting.
Among any teams that you've talked to so far, has anyone said what they, you know, most envision you being? I'm kind of, you know, thinking of your size and you said yourself, you know, kind of defensive end outside linebacker. Are they thinking maybe a DN and a 4-3 front, or, you know, maybe a more of a strong side 3-4 outside backer? What are they kind of giving you on that?
Most teams are looking at me as like an outside linebacker, 3-4 type deal. My agent was telling me they got me as like a tweener type of guy.
You see that as an obstacle, or do you see that as basically a, well, hell, you can put me in whatever you want to, and I'm going to do everything that I can do and impress?
That's exactly how I look at it. I look forward to showing teams what I can do. I look at that as a challenge almost. Okay, so he's a tweener. We could put him at D-line, outside backer. And me personally, I know that I'm capable of playing either or. I just want to make the best out of my opportunity.
Do you enjoy the coverage part of becoming an outside linebacker, of the at least the potential of it?
I've actually learned to love it. At first, I won't say it was hard, but at first it was new. I'll say that. It was different. But learning to drop into them coverages, them zones, and one big thing I love about it is the fact that I can get the ball. When I catch the ball, do a little something, show my athleticism there also in the open space.
You know, we were kind of just talking about what some teams were projecting you, you know, at least on their rosters. What are some of the teams that have kind of had the most conversation with you so far?
Who have I talked to? Rams. I haven't really talked to a lot of teams. My agents told me of a couple teams that were interested, but me personally, I haven't talked to a lot of them.
So, you know, the Rams kind of being the most prominent one that sticks out in your mind. Sure. Do you see some of the moves they're making right now? And does that, you know, not only are they in your home state, but they're making a mad dash right now for some sort of postseason run. Do you see that and that kind of get you excited to maybe join them?
It most definitely does. Of course, Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, two of the most dominant players at their position right now. With me being a tweener kind of guy or whatever position they want to put me at the line, I'd love to come in and learn from them and go make some plays because I know they're going to be trying to double team them too.
Yeah. I mean, the Rams don't really have many outside pass rushers right now, and Wade Phillips is one of the best defensive coordinators that there's been in this league, so that could be a nice little place to land.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Is there anybody that you kind of model your game after? Somebody that you see that, you know, picks up on little intricacies about the position that you see? Like, yes, that's exactly where I want to be.
Honestly, speaking of Aaron, I watch a lot of Aaron Donald tape. I just love the fact that we're basically the same size, and that first quick step that he has, my whole career, everybody's always said how much they love my first quick step. So I've always tried to model my game off of him. That first quick step, getting to the offender's hip, making a move quick. Him and Dwight Freeney, another guy who's in a so-called undersized end, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. We're pretty familiar with that for sure.
Yeah. Right, most definitely.
Yeah, how willing are you to adopt Aaron Donald's knife fighting techniques that has been coming out lately?
I saw that the other day too. Honestly, whatever it takes, I'll do it. As long as I don't get poked, but you know what I'm saying? That's up to me, I guess, with my hand work.
That seems risky to me, man. I don't know about you, but that's I mean, that's a crazy piece of the job right there. But hell, if you got the skills to do it.
It really is.
Man, but you know he's going to be good at it, man. You practice your hand technique like that. And speaking of hand technique, what would look like kind of your go-to move, I suppose? If you get the inside hip or the outside hip, whichever it is, on that offensive lineman, what is kind of your go-to?
Man, my go-to, I'd have to say, I call it like, I come off the ball, chatter inside, chatter outside, torque. That's my favorite move. Like, I got a quick get off, so I'll get off the ball fast, set an offensive lineman up with a step inside, chatter back outside, torque the hip real quick, and then I'll buy him.
Is it kind of
get them to lean real hard on the inside?
Is it more of a area now? I know I've heard from different guys that some tell me that they kind of attack the joints of the arms,
right,
of the offensive lineman. Is there? I see a lot of guys. It seems like they're attacking the armpit as well. Like when they're trying to get a swipe on.
Right.
Is that another hot spot? I suppose to an offensive lineman that you want to find.
You most definitely can. Instead of the armpit, I like to go like. I have long arms. I like to use his shoulder. Like if I can get on his shoulder and with a long arm and turn his shoulder, then I can, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It shortens my distance to the quarterback.
Nice. Through the battles that you constantly go through, Garrett, along the line, you're in the trenches with guys that want to take you out just as badly as you want to get by them. What is your favorite?
Right.
What is your favorite part about that, whatever you want to call it, trench warfare type of play?
Can you go a little more into depth on that?
Like
explain a little more.
Like if you've got guys that are literally trying to manhandle you into, you know, you have
right.
your responsibilities. They're trying to either you're getting the wham block or you're getting powered through. What do you find maybe the most challenging offensive scheme to kind of bust through?
I'll say most challenging might be a full slide zone read type of deal where the offensive line just is literally turning and running one way, and you got to set your edge or you got to hold that, you know what I'm saying, hold that gap down so that you make the running back cut back inside so your linebackers can make a play.
I always wondered about that because it seemed like the zone running scheme for offenses seemed to be difficult for offensive linemen, but I guess it could be equally difficult for defensive linemen too, is trying to figure out who to pick up.
Exactly.
That's interesting. Who
would be, you never want to lose the gap.
Yeah, right. And then even then, you still have to find your edge, like you said. You don't know where it's at the at the moment.
Exactly, because it's moving now.
Right. That's crazy. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Who would be the best offensive lineman that you've actually matched up against mano a mano?
Oh, that I matched up against? What's that kid's name? I don't know his name, but number 73 from Utah State probably would be – he played left tackle? Left tackle. He was really good, most definitely. I don't remember his name, but from Utah State, number 73, shout out to you.
There we go.
We'll
find out who it is.
I was
going to
say, we'll have to look that up. What's been your favorite part about this process, man? Because this is a lot of seriousness going on. This is,
right.
like Jake said, this is the most important job interview of your life for the most part, at least in your football career. What's this been like? I mean, has this been pretty relaxing or has this been pretty stressful?
I can say it's definitely been stressful because man, you're working so hard, but you don't necessarily know what your numbers are going to be. Then after your pro day, when you get your numbers, some of them are exactly where you wanted them to be. Some of them aren't. So it's definitely a stressful process, but you learn a lot about yourself. That's one thing that I can take from this whole experience. I've learned a lot from myself and how strong I am mentally, because this process, it's a lot of ups and downs. It's a tough road. So I've taken practice in like self-talk and positive self-talk, a little bit of meditation, different stuff like that, just to, you know what I'm saying, get myself through them tough times, and even in the good times, keep myself modest and humble.
That's interesting. Yeah, I bet that takes a lot of work, a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? Self-discipline, I guess, as far as this part.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you guys done your pro today yet?
Yeah, it was actually today.
Oh, how did you do?
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I just finished like a couple hours ago.
Do you remember how you did?
Yeah, I don't know my official numbers yet, but I did pretty good. My 40, they told me 4.6, 4.7, I think. 4.6, 4.7 range.
Nice.
I don't know my official numbers yet.
Yeah. Did you participate in the short and the three cone and all that too?
Yeah. I don't know my results from that at all. They didn't give it to us after yet. My strength coach said we should be getting those tomorrow.
Good. They seem pretty happy with your workout though, huh?
Yeah, most definitely.
That's awesome.
Like I said, I became a real positive person in this whole process. Like, you know what I'm saying? Your numbers don't lie. You got to stick by them. So right. I'm happy with what I did today.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that strange having – I mean, I know you work out in front of your coaching staff in any other setting and all that stuff with all your guys, but when it seems like you've got a handful of guys that are with you, and then you've got all these coaches and all these scouts kind of picking your brain and kind of picking every little movement out. What was one thing that maybe one of the scouts or the coaches or somebody kind of came up to you and asked you either to do or to work on, or what something that they pointed out to you? Sometimes they get a little hands-on in those workouts. Sometimes they don't. I was just curious to see if anybody did.
Any point outs? Dang, I don't know any point outs. I got a couple of head nods and, you know, some good gestures, good gestures from some stuff I did. But not necessarily any point outs.
The wink and the two hand point there.
Right, exactly. So you know what I'm saying? That made me feel pretty good.
I'll bet. That's got to be.
Do you have any that you know of, any upcoming visits with any teams, or are you maybe participating in any of the local pro days that some of these teams hold?
Me and my, like I said, I just had my pro day today. I'm one of the last ones, so a lot of the teams are waiting to get those results. That's what my agent was telling me. But hopefully, I know the Rams, or it's either the Rams or Chargers is having one next week, and so I'm hoping to get into that also.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. Very cool. Garrett, man, we can't thank you enough for being with us tonight, man. We've got a few more questions for you. None of them as serious as what we've already talked about so far. Lighten the mood up here a little bit towards the end of the show. And so we've got a couple for you here real quick. Are you all set?
Yes, sir.
All right. When you're on the beach, you wearing a cowboy hat or fisherman's hat?
I'm going to go with a fisherman's hat.
I like that too.
Yeah.
All right. Pizza and seafood or pasta and burgers?
Pasta and burgers.
Mm-hmm. Weather, hot and rainy or cold and sunny?
No, I'm a LA kid. I'm from Cali, so I got to say hot.
That's the first one on that. I was going to scrap that one because everybody was saying cold and sunny.
I gotta go with it.
What's a favorite vacation spot you've been to, man?
I wasn't fortunate enough to take a lot of vacations, but when we played at Hawaii two seasons ago, that man blew me away.
That'd be awesome.
All right, let me come off on one here. Let's see, movies or PlayStation?
Ooh, so I'm gonna have to say movies just because I own an Xbox One.
There you go.
If you would have said Xbox, it would have been different.
Or gaming console, I guess I should have said, but that'll work too, man. Garrett, man, we can't thank you enough for jumping on with us tonight. It was a blast talking to you. We hope for the best for you moving forward. where can anybody find you on Twitter and anything else you got going on the rest of this pre-draft process?
My Twitter is Gare, G-A-R-E, underscore 7. And my Instagram is Gare, G-A-R-E, underscore X-K. Shout out my brother's clothing line, Extra Credit. And yeah, that's my main too.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Thank you for joining us. Like I said, best of luck, and we look forward to hearing some good things about you, my man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate the interview.
Absolutely.
I had a great time.
Absolutely. We did.
Yeah, of course. Best of luck to you, man.
All right. Thank you guys for coming back. We hope that you guys enjoyed that interview with Garrett. Jake, I enjoyed it. Another positive guy, another guy who looks and acts and talks and breathes football and seems that he's well on his way to, you know, doing big things. I think that he's going to be a successful guy. He's definitely got the drive, definitely got the willingness to play just about anywhere. Another good interview and another, you know, quality individual that we've gotten to talk to. So I'm happy for him. I hope that everything goes his way. He's got to look forward to these guys now that you actually get a chance to talk to them, and you hope that something comes out shiny and sunny for him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's hard not to go ahead and root for these guys. You know, they're not all, you know, highly coveted draft picks, but, you know, being possibilities to be undrafted free agents, you know, it's kind of cool that they might get to choose where they sign with as well. You know, they can choose their own, you know, the scheme that they think fits best and things like that.
Right. Because after you get, and I mean, I don't think that we've really talked to anybody who's a top two or three round pick. So I think that what you said is, you know, is exactly right. You see some, you never really know after, I'd say, mid fifth round to the end of the draft. You really don't know what's going to happen. You see some guys in there, but that is where people's boards start to differ dramatically. So we could see some of these guys get drafted. Some of these guys could be undrafted free agents. And like you said, they get to choose where they're going to go. They get a better grasp on who they're going to fit, what play they're going to be expected to play versus what they want to do. So this is a really cool time for these guys, man. I like I said, wish the best for all of them. It was great. And Garrett was excellent as well. Like I said, very motivated guy. I love talking to these guys. You can just hear, you know, the football kind of just being breathed in their lungs or whatever. I don't know. This is a terrible analogy, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He just comes off his pro day and, you know, it just seems like he's just ready to go today. So,
yeah,
I think that's pretty cool for these guys. So, Jake, we've got more of these coming. I think we're going to probably have a couple lined up probably, for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Not going to be 100% sure on which days we're going to do these. We'll keep you guys informed and ready to go on this. But it was an excellent show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Jake, thank you for joining me again, my man. It was a great time.
Yeah, of course, man. Glad to join you on these. These have been fun.
Absolutely. Make sure you guys are going and rating and reviewing the podcast. Make sure you guys are subscribing to it. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Be ready because tomorrow... Is tomorrow the 6th? Tomorrow's the 6th. The Stampede Blue Draft Guide drops tomorrow. So I hope that you guys, if you guys have gotten that, we appreciate that. If you haven't, do it. And give us feedback because we hope you guys like it. We put a lot of effort into that, and I'm proud of our squad. So thank you guys all for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the ColtsCast. Let's air it out, fire out, let's air it out.